Well, good morning to each one this morning. Does Jesus care? Song we sang, the last song we sang. Yes, he does. Leo, he cares. He does care. Several weeks ago, I wasn't having a bad day or a moment. I'm not sure what was going on exactly, but there was feelings of inadequate, of struggles with just some of what I go through. And I think Joanie and I had went out to eat that night and had a pretty heavy discussion about it. And, sorry. Anyway, we talked about how I felt weak, maybe not weak, but not in my strength, some of the things that I'm called to deal with, called to do. And next day I went to work. We were actually had an on-site job, and I put my earbud in and I was listening to the radio. And a song came on. And the name of the song is His Strength is Perfect. And it not only played the song, but the DJs talked about the scripture that was the writer was referring to, and I don't think I cried right there. Probably don't want to cry in front of Nathan, but I was blessed by that. Jesus does care. He cares. And he uses things like a song, as simple as a song, to let us know that he does care for us. He does care about us. So this morning, I'm going to share with y'all a little bit of that scripture. We're going to talk about his strength. His strength is perfect. And it's 2 Corinthians. I'm going to start in chapter 11. And it's Paul. He's talking to the Corinthians. And the first part of it I'm reading is just mainly for a little bit of background so I don't jump in right in the middle of what Paul is saying. But Paul is talking to the Corinthians. And there have been false prophets that have come in. And these false prophets have come in and they've boasted. And they've talked about how great they are and the things they've done. But they're false prophets. So Paul comes in verse 16 of chapter 11 and says, "All right, I don't usually boast, but I can boast as well." Paul says, "I say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I may also boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I will also boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it, if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you in the face, to our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measures, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas the king, was guarding the city of Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall, escaped from his hands. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man, and Paul's talking about himself here. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast. Yet of myself I will not boast except my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. For I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. These false prophets that had come and were leading the Corinthians astray with their boastings and talking about how great they were. And Paul goes through the list of things that he's done, the list of things that he's suffered for Christ. What a long list it was. Surely, if there's something to boast about, he could have boasted about it. But then verse 7 comes. It says, and lest I should be exalted above measure, by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. You notice that in verse 7 there, it says that twice. Lest I be exalted above measure. Paul wasn't seeking fame. Paul wasn't seeking what these false prophets wanted, the glory, the honor. That wasn't what Paul was seeking. Concerning these things, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. This thorn in the flesh that he had, no one knows what it is, what it may be. If you look at all he has gone through, the beatings that he had, being shipwrecked, all this, certainly he could have had physical ailments that would have hurt him, that would have left lasting ailments on his body. Maybe it was his eyesight from when he had been struck down blind on the road by God. Whatever it was, he asked for it to be removed 3 times. But then God spoke to him. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul says, therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, my weaknesses. He will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. To come to the point in your life where you're like Paul, and you want to boast about your weaknesses. We don't like to boast about our weaknesses. We like to boast about our strength. The things we've done that people will look at you and say, no way you could do that. Can't believe you did that. Maybe they're foolish things you've done. We were talking at lunch one day this week and talking about drinking something fast. And I told them that one time on the way home from work, we stopped in Seneca. And a 2-liter cost less than what a 20-ounce did, so we bought a 2-liter. Clayton and I bought 2 liters. And we proceeded to drink them. I think we met at Ebenezer that day. And I think I had mine drank by the time we got to Ebenezer. I'm not sure if I made it home before I had to go to the bathroom or not, but we like to boast about the things that we've done. But we don't like to boast about our weaknesses. Why is that? Maybe it's because we don't want other people to see our weaknesses, our needs. But Paul says he will take pleasure in his weaknesses, in reproaches, his insults, in needs, having needs. I don't take pleasure when there's something that I need. In persecutions. I don't know that I've ever faced a persecution like Paul faced. In distresses, for Christ's sake. And I think that's the key. For Christ's sake. Then he goes on to say, when I am weak, then I am strong. And in the world that we live in, that feels so backward. When I am weak, then I am strong. You turn that around and say, when I'm strong, then I become weak. When we think that we are strong, that's when we become weak. We become proud. In Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We know that verse well. We know what happens. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 and 13 says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Pride, if we think we're strong enough to stand up against the devil, we're not. If we think we're strong enough that we can resist, we can't. If we think that we have strength, we don't. We are weak. It is only when we rely on the strength of God that we can stand strong. Verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So if you're that man that thinks you can stand, you can't. But know that God is there. God is faithful and He has made a way out. Luke 18, verses 9 to 14, talks about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And it says, and also he spake this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This Pharisee had it all together. He looked perfect. Just like he had everything in order. Then verse 13 says, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The tax collector, or the Pharisee, thought that he could stand on his own strength. Another song I heard this week, and I don't usually listen to bluegrass, but it comes up every now and then on the station that I listen to. And it was kind of a funny song, and it was about a preacher, and they called him Hillbilly Graham. I guess it was a play on Billy Graham, but he was this preacher was this, he was a hillbilly, and he preached, and he could preach well. And the song says, and in the song it says that at one point the people from the church, the elders of the church, called him in, and they told him they don't like the way he dresses. That they think he needs to dress up a little more if he's going to be a preacher. In the song he says that he stopped and he told him that he doesn't see anywhere in the Bible where it says he has to wear a suit and tie. And he said the last time he looked, it was in the Bible that you shouldn't judge people by the way they look. And I think this Pharisee was doing the same thing. He was judging by the outside what this tax collector looked like. But this tax collector realized who God was and who his strength was. A couple weeks ago, I shared about King Asa, about him going to God. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 8 to 12, it says, and Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who carried their shields and spears, and from Benjamin, 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows, and all these were mighty men of valor, 580,000 men. Then Zerah the Ethiopians came against him with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Maresha. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephathus in Maresha. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. Verse 12 says, so the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. God was on Asa's side. Though number outnumbered 2-1 almost, Asa realized where his strength would come from. And he called out to him. Another example is in 2 Kings. Elisha has been reading the mind, basically, of the opposing king of Syria and telling the king of Israel where the Syrians are going to be hiding. And so the king of Syria said, where is this prophet? I'm going to go get him. Verse 12, it says, and one of the prophet's servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the king of Israel, the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Elisha knew where his strength was. Verse 17 says, "And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open the eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Elisha knew where his strength was. The very next chapter, it talks about the Syrians had surrounded Samaria. And again, they had no one to rescue them. But during the night, God came. It says there were several lepers who went out to see them, to the Syrian camp. It says they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. Our strength is in God. If we trust in Him, our strength is in God. Philippians, Paul is talking to the Philippians also about what he is, what he has lived, the life, what he is, his background. Verse chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 1 through 11, it says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." All these things that Paul had, his strength, his lineage, his background that he had so great. If he wanted to be a Pharisee, he could have been one of those great Pharisees. But he said that, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ." He knew that those strength that he had were all weaknesses. If he would have relied on those strengths, his upbringing, his zeal, Hebrew of the Hebrews, it would have been weaknesses. He says, "I count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." He was willing to take all those things, the life he could have had. Paul could have lived a good life. He probably could have had lots of money, lots of power. But when Christ called him, when God called him, he knew that there was something greater. Verse 10 says, "that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection." And we like that part. We want to know God in the power of His resurrection. That sounds nice. And the fellowship of His sufferings. That doesn't sound very nice. Do you want to know the fellowship of his sufferings? In our own strength, we cannot endure these things. But with his strength, all things are possible. The next chapter, verse 13, is one we know well. Chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul knew where his strength came from. He knew what his weaknesses were. God had told him. Philippians 1, verse 6 says, being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is working in each one of our lives. He's working in us. He has a plan. And maybe there's things that you don't feel very confident in that God is asking you to do, that you don't feel capable of. Maybe there's hard things to go through. And on your own, you can't get through them. But God is there. He has said, it says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. And then one of my favorite verses, Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that's our God, the great shepherd. Says he make you complete in every good work to do his will. Working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God is willing to make you complete for his work. If God has called you to something, if he's calling you to something, he's going to be there for you. And he's going to give you the talents, the gifts, the strengths that you need to fulfill it. I'm just going to go back one more time and read verse 9 and 11, 9 through 9 and 10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul says, therefore, most gladly I will rather boast of my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When we are weak, when we realize that it's not something Tommy can do, it's not something you can do, that is when we can rely on Christ to be there for us and to provide the strength that we need to live our lives and to do what he has called us to do. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And then after the prayer, I'm going to have Jeremy play the song. And then after the song is over, you may be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And I thank you for your word that we have. Father, I thank you that things that were written thousands of years ago are still powerful and alive, that we can use them in our lives. Father, I thank you that you do care. You care about each one of us. You care about the little sparrow that falls from the tree. You care about me. You care about Leo. Father, I thank you that you care for each one of us. And that when the time is right, your scripture comes alive to each one of us, if we are willing to search for it and to be open to you. Father, I pray that you would just be with us today. Be with us this week. Father, I pray that you would help us to look to you for strength, to realize that on our own, we are going to fall. But know that you are there, and that you are faithful, and that you love us and you care about us. Whatever may come. So, Father, I pray that you would just be with us this week as we go from here. Father, I pray a blessing on each one of us. Pray that you would just be with each one as we come in contact with other people. Father, I pray that we would let your light shine to those we come in contact with. I pray that today you'd be with the food that is prepared today. Father, I pray that you would just bless it to our bodies, bless the hands that prepared it. I pray that you would just help us to use the strength to bring honor and glory to you. Just go with us this morning. In your name I pray. Amen.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own, yet in my weakness he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. strength is her.